Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me, even though I have a slight case, just a one-third case of laryngitis. My voice is a little bit different today than it had. Actually, it's been this way all week. This is the third day in a row I've had a little bit of a raspy voice. Sorry about that. If you just tuned in, if you've never listened before, you don't know that it's any different. Maybe it even sounds better. I don't know. But we're glad to have you here. And as you know, I'm like you. I have my own business just like you do. Whether, you know, rain or snow or wind or sleet or laryngitis, I go to work and just like you do. Somebody else who knows all about that is our good friend Anita Rosen. Anita is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of an answer book now in its second edition, and for all I know there may be another one out there somewhere that I just don't have my copy of yet. She is a pioneer, ladies and gentlemen, on the web. She was one of the early folks who were helping to create what you and I use today. And she started when she was only 8. She's not that old, but she is our good friend. Anita Rosen, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jim. It's so nice to be back.
It's good to have you back. Your second edition, the last one?
Yep, I'm working on a new book.
All right.
E-commerce. It's an e-learning book.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been working on e-learning for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I really think that's a very interesting area of the web, and I think it's really interesting for small businesses also.
It's not just interesting, it's the way the world's going.
Well, yeah, and with small businesses, there's a lot of training that you need to provide people so that they understand what you're doing. And it's really hard when you're a small business to get out there for everyone. So when you put the training on the web, it makes it really easy for everyone you need to have to access that training. If you need to provide training to your employees, it's very expensive to have them take a day off to go out to a training class.
Yep.
Where you can find courses on the web, much easier for them to have access to training. So it's the big move for e-learning is this just-in-time training that employees and partners can get access to training on the subjects they need when they need it. So you're going to be walking into a meeting or you're going to be meeting someone and you need to get some information. You can take a training course that takes you 15 minutes, and now you're not an expert, but you're knowledgeable.
You're conversant in their language, in their terms, yeah.
Yeah.
Gary Brodnax was on earlier in the week, and he sells customer relationship management software.
Yeah.
And he was telling us about some of the key things that we should be asking anybody who sells CRM software. You know, what are some of the key elements that we need to make sure that the people selling us the software have? And one of the things he said was you must be able to get training online for the CRM stuff.
Right. You want to have training so that you know how to use the application. But also, when you start looking at it, you're talking about customer relations. What do you know about the customer's business, or what do you know you have? Someone that's trying to deal with the customers, do they know the information they need to know?
Mm-hmm.
And how many days do you want to send people out to classes as opposed to finding catalogs or creating your own courses that take people 15 minutes? I mean, that's the big thing that we're seeing that's changing right now. I don't think we're ever going to do away with classroom training, but there's an awful lot of training that people can take that they don't need to go to a classroom for.
John Nesbitt, as you know very well, Anita, said, we're going to move toward high-tech, but we're always going to want high-touch.
Oh, yeah.
So we're always going to want to be with other people, but that doesn't mean that we can't use the technology to make things more convenient.
I completely agree. And I don't believe that e-learning or any of the does away with meetings or getting together with people. But, you know, I have a small business, and I know with myself, it's, you know, you can get pulled in a million directions. And for me to try what I can do in 5 hours would have taken me 2 weeks to do 15 years ago, just because I would have had to get in cars or get in planes and fly out to meet with people, that I can now have these meetings with over the phone and over the Internet.
Is e-learning part of 2.0, Web 2.0?
Well, e-learning isn't, but e-learning does have a component that's 2.0. And to quickly review over for your folks what 2.0 is, it's the next generation. So which pieces and which applications are the latest applications for the web?
And when we come back after these messages, Anita's going to tell us what the difference is between Web 1.0 and Web 2.0, and you can take an inventory of what you're doing to see where you are on that continuum. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Anita Rosen. I'm Jim Blessingame. It's 20 till. Stay with us.
I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find the show. And by the way, we will allow you to podcast. We have the capability for you to either stream by MP3, any of the things that we've done here, the show today, the show yesterday, the one we did in 1999, all the way back to when we started collecting our live simulcast. And you can stream, you can podcast, you can put it right in immediately, instantaneously into your iTunes manager. You can subscribe to it, and we'll send it to you whenever you want. So check that out. Also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you're at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, we also have our knowledge base, which is askjim.biz. That's where you can get your small business answers now. And Anita Rosen is all over both of our websites. She's an incredible and very gracious contributor to all the things that we do. And Anita, for all the things you've done for us as a member of our Brain Trust over the years, we thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
It's been fun, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Anita, folks, is one of the pioneers and one of the Internet pioneers, and she's the author of the e-commerce question and answer book, second edition. And we're talking about Web 2.0 and what it means for your business. And Anita, I was going to ask you to differentiate between, kind of go down through the list there, so to speak, and differentiate between what you consider to be Web 1.0 and Web 2.0.
Well, 1.0 sites, if you go to, you can tell a Web 1.0 site because it has information on it. And that's 1.0. 2.0 starts two-way communication. And that's the big thing with 2.0. And when we talk about two-way communication, do you have feedback on your site? Do you have information and people can comment on it? Do you have blogging capabilities so people will blog your blogging on your site, and then you provide feedback capabilities so someone can comment on your blog? Those are the type of things that you're seeing in 2.0 sites. And that's what we mean by two-way communication. It's not just providing people with information. It's also providing people with a way of communicating back with you. Other 2.0 capabilities are, what formats do you accept your website in? I went to a website, and we found that we were having problems, and we found out that they only accepted one level of Microsoft browser, and if you didn't have that kind of browser, you couldn't get onto their website.
Huh.
Don't make your website a web repellent. You don't know what people are coming to. One of the things we found out in Silicon Valley, we recently did some research, and 40% of the people in Silicon Valley don't use Microsoft browser. They use Mozilla. Now, the rest of the country, it's about 90% use Microsoft.
Right.
You're talking about either having 10% of the people, or if you're going after a group like Silicon Valley people, 40% of the people, if you don't let them have access from all the different browsers, how many people are you not letting to your website? Why are you repelling them? So, and not just having, so that's a 1.0 issue. A 2.0 issue is, what device are they coming to your website on? Are they on a PDA? Are they on a cell phone? Can they access this information? How do they access it, and what does it look like? You know, do you have a lot of, you know, streaming media might be wonderful, but if someone's on a cell phone, can they use it? Is it usable? Do you flash, is it usable? So you have to start thinking about these other medias that people might be accessing websites on, and is it usable? Is it accessible?
Is Web 2.0 pushing information to people? For example, would you consider RSS to be 2.0?
That is a 2.0. So RSS lets people choose to say, yes, if something changes, send me that information. I want to know when there's any changes to that website.
So Web 1.0 is kind of more, Web 1.0 is more passive, and Web 2.0 is more active.
Yeah, we're getting more capabilities, and so we're saying as we have these new capabilities, there's new applications that are coming up because of that. And that's the second generation of the web, are these new capabilities. So a lot of websites out there are 1.0 websites. You don't look at it and say, oh, that's a, you know, it's not a look and feel that we're talking about. It's kind of the capabilities your website has. Now, the other thing is...
So let me stop you for a second, Nita. So Web 1.0 would be a business that has a catalog, maybe even an e-commerce component.
Correct.
Web 2.0 would be where the customer could actually go in and check on the progress of their order.
That could be 1.0. 2.0, they'd have a feedback. Like if you go to a site like Amazon.com and you're looking at a product and you say, this looks like a new, nice product, read other people's feedback. And then you could read down, and there might be 20 different people who've bought that product, and they'll say, I really like that product, but, you know, it came out wonderful, or, you know, I got it, and it kind of was flimsy and cheap.
Right.
And I know I've looked for things, and I read the feedback because, and I look for feedback because I'm not in the store touching it. So I want to know what other people are thinking about it. And I really like to see comments, and, you know, you might get 8 great comments, and one might be not so great, but I'm always looking for the not so great because I want to know what the picky person has to say.
So
I might say, I don't care, but at least I know what the picky
interactive,
person has to say.
Interactive is 2.0.
So, and that's what we mean by interactive. And that also differentiates your site because all that feedback, someone else can have the same product, but let's say there's the same product on 2 sites at the same price. And one has feedback and one doesn't.
Right.
The one that has feedback, you're providing people with more capabilities.
Right. Stand by, Anita. We're going to take a quick break. Anita Rosen is our guest, folks. I told you we'd get smarter when Anita joined us. She and I will be right back. It's 10 till. Stay with me.
The way you said, say goodnight. Parade on, it's a parade.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Anita Rosen. She's the author of It's good to have you back, Anita, and she's the author of the e-commerce question and answer book available wherever books are sold. Anita, give us your website, please.
AnitaRosen.com.
AnitaRosen.com, just like you think it would be spelled, ladies and gentlemen. And she's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She led the Netscape team, ladies and gentlemen, back in the 90s in creating the first e-business site. So that's what I mean when I say Anita's a pioneer. That's the reason why when Anita speaks, I listen. Anita, talk to us some more about Web 2.0. What are some other examples?
Well, there's a lot of different things. But what really I think matters to small business people is what can you do to differentiate your business? And differentiating doesn't necessarily mean that you have something that someone else doesn't, but you provide services that someone else doesn't. And that gets back to that feedback, which is really, I think, very important. And also making sure that it's accessible on multiple devices. Those are a couple of the really big things that you can do. Is
cross-platform.
Sure, pardon?
Cross-platform,
that you're, if you're creating websites, that, you know, the biggest problem I see most companies have is they go to a graphic designer, and the graphic designer designs for paper. And they believe the website's a piece of paper. And if you make your
and they're trying to win an award too, aren't they?
Pardon?
They're trying to win an award. They're not trying to get you customers.
And if that's your job when you're working with them, to make sure that they're creating a website that meets your needs. And part of that is to make sure that it works in different platforms. And
what about the smaller platforms? What about what do we have to do to make our websites work on phones, for example?
Get rid of a lot of those graphics.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. Make sure that your websites are in HTML.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they'll work smoothly. And there's a lot of different browsers out there for the cell phones. And if you're having something like a Microsoft CE, that's Microsoft Windows 3.0. That's what they use for CE. So think about an old browser and the capabilities. That's what people have on their cell phones. We're walking back in time when we have those browsers.
Huh.
So if your website's using HTML and you don't have a lot of graphics, it's a very simple website. People will be able to access it. If not, they can't see anything. And if you have lots of flash and lots of graphics, it's worthless for them.
Mm-hmm.
And more people, if you start looking at these cell phones are more and more people are going to be accessing the web from cell phones.
It's going to be.
That's the way
it is. It won't be long before that's basically where we're all beginning it, won't it? Getting our information.
Yeah, we're going to be walking around. I mean, look at the iPhone and see how neat that is and how people want that.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing is it has that browser, and look how big that is. What is that? 4 inches by 2 inches?
Yeah.
How
important is that to have today? How much of an emphasis should we put on it today?
Well, the big thing is it's not that so many people are accessing it today. It's that when you're building your website today, you want to make sure that it's going to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you want to spend $5,000 redoing your website and it doesn't work tomorrow, or do you want to put the infrastructure in place today so that tomorrow all you're doing is adding more content? You're not having to redesign.
You've got to, whenever you're talking to about redesign, you've got to make sure that the people you're talking to are aware of the different platforms that are going to be presenting your website.
Exactly, and it's your responsibility to check these out because that's your due diligence. So you need to find a Mozilla browser or put one on and see if your website's accessible.
You need to
go out and have an AOL browser and see if it's accessible. And if you don't have a cell phone, one of your buddies probably does, and say, hey, could you go over in my website and let me see what it looks like? And you go, ooh, that's bad. And you go back to your designer and say, that doesn't cut it.
Right. Well, and actually what you should do is your designer should be telling you all that. Your designer should be checking that out before he or she even gives it to you.
They should be, But if you're
still your responsibility.
Diligence, and I'm not finding that designers are doing it because the designers are designing. And they're not necessarily, if you have a really good designer, they'll be telling you it works on these different platforms. The problem is if you're not asking for it, a lot of times the problem is the business people say, but I want my site to be gorgeous. So when people come, they go, as opposed to maybe a little simpler would be better and everyone can access it.
Exactly. Hey, Anita, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Oh, my pleasure.
Anita Rosen, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best, as you know. And don't forget, AnitaRosen.com. Check it out. A lot of good stuff there. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.